Welcome to the Why Don't You Say Something podcast, where we're doing exactly that, saying something about the online coaching, online course world, and spiritual industry, because we're all wondering what the F is going on. I'm Eva, a former yoga teacher and online business strategist, who slowly started to question some of the things that I was learning and teaching myself. I've now come to see the light, and I'm sharing those learnings with you here. In this podcast, we're going to break down some of the red flags we see, hear people's stories and experiences, and offer resources on how you can do business in a bullshit-free way yourself if you are in business. Heads up, as you're listening, I swear a lot, so be careful of your kiddos' ears. Just a quick note to say, this podcast is a chat or an interview with someone today, and this is the spiel that I put on the beginning of every single interview I have. These are conversations with other people, and I am honored and excited and so freaking grateful that these people took the time to have a conversation with me, to share their perspective, to share their knowledge. Now, sometimes on the internet or on Instagram, we think that everyone needs to think like us. Everyone needs to do exactly what we think they should do. Hello, I am guilty of this. And as much as I would personally love that, it is not humanly possible, okay? And it doesn't create a place where we're learning more, where we're connecting with new people, where we're expanding our horizons or having our own beliefs challenged. So sometimes people will message me on Instagram and say, why did you share the story of this other person? Because they once posted this or they're running that. Y'all, I don't have the time. I truly have a full-time job and I'm not trying to investigate or vouch for every single person. So I invite us to drop any kind of judgments in that way or good or bad thinking. It really doesn't help anything. We could get into how that's part of white supremacy culture, positioning something as good or bad, or right or wrong, and that's that. This team or that team, this side or that side. We could also get into how when you learn about ethics, one of the things they invite you to do is drop that kind of yes or no thinking because it can oversimplify very complex things and not put us in a place of deeper understanding, being open to learning more. So we are having conversations on this podcast. I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. And feel free to share your thoughts and opinions over on Instagram posts. Hey, y'all. Today on the podcast, I'm about to press play. The episode is with the amazing Melissa Lapidus. She mentions a couple awesome things in this podcast that I want to let you know about that you can go click and look at because those things she mentions have now been released. So one of the things is ethics for coaching. So this is a board of ethics. This is a website where there's like Yelp reviews of coaches. This is where you can try and look at like legal stuff around the coaching drama that you may have experienced. So that has now been released. I'm so proud of them. The website for that is www.ethicsforcoaching.org. So again, ethicsforcoaching.org. And then Melissa's website is safetraumahealing.com. And you can also find her Instagram at Safe Space Institute. And now I'll roll the actual podcast. Bye. Hi, everyone. It's Eva. And I'm on today with a fantastic friend and guest, Miss Melissa Lapidus. And she's someone who I met through the interwebs. We haven't gotten to really chat before, so you're going to hear us getting to chat kind of for the first time. We connect a lot on Instagram, and I have really looked up to her work. We're going to talk all about it. She runs Safe Space Institute, which is a trauma-informed coaching certification. Amazing. And she is an LMFT, a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I'm just so glad to have you on. How are you?
I am so glad to be here and just so grateful for you and all the awareness that you've been raising in the industry. So I'm really excited to be here with you.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And I'm really appreciative of your being able to take the time to come chat and shoot the shit with me. And I first found your stuff because my friend Keely, I think, had sent me one of your Facebook posts. And this is when I was starting to think like this, so much of this stuff is messed up, but I didn't see anyone speaking up about it. So a Facebook friend sent me one of your posts. I think people were going wild on the post about like scammers in the industry. And I was like, holy crap, someone's actually talking about it and people are resonating with it. And then I just went down the rabbit hole of all your awesome content teaching about how messed up this stuff is. So anyways, I found you before I was saying a word, and here I am ranting on the internet now, which is definitely part thanks to you. I found your content and you were one of the people who made me feel inspired to speak up.
That makes me have the chills, I swear. And I am so glad that you have started to speak up. And I really appreciate the way you do it, because I think people receive things in different ways. So while I'm taking a more educational approach, you take a more humorous approach. And I think that, you know, people learn in different ways. And so it is really important to bring awareness in different ways. And when I started to see your stuff, I'm like, oh my God, you're nailing it, like nailing it. It just like, it couldn't be more on point, so much of it. And so I appreciate the humor because I'm not that funny. And you're doing a great job bringing the education in a humorous way.
Well, thank you. Half the time I'm nailing it because I either did it myself. I mean, again, nothing like wildly scammy, but just as far as like some of the like coaching calls or, you know, some of the reels, it's like what I had tried for a little bit, or I was trying to push my edge or my values or whatever. So I either tried it myself or sat there for hours paying thousands of freaking dollars learning some bullshit from people exactly like that. So yes. So one of the things that I know you've talked about is, you know, maybe you became a therapist and then you kind of got into being online and in the industry. And then you're like, oh my God, like, what are these coaches doing? Or was, tell us about your experience kind of first getting into it all.
Yeah. I actually got involved with some of these like influencer coaches girls when I lived in Florida, and I was meeting some of them in real life through certain spiritual groups and stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? These like 30-year-old girls are like online influencers, like just making so much money. And like, what do they know that's different than a therapist? Because I couldn't understand like how they were doing personal development and teaching people like how to grow, and yet charging like 200 times more than my therapist friends that have, you know, been studying for 20, 30, 40 years, some of them in practice. So I'm like, whoa, did they know like the keys to the universe?
What
is going on here? And so I kind of went down the rabbit hole of like immersing myself online and really observing. And then I fell into the trap a few times with business coaches because I'm like, I want to learn how to get online and do this thing. And then I started really seeing just how deep this shit goes and the kind of manipulation and the kind of real vulnerability that people have coming into this, and how easy it is to prey on this specific population of people, even like myself. So for me, it was business development. And when you don't know anything about something, and then there's these people that are saying like, you know, I've had these results and I could promise you this and I could promise you that. And I mean, they say all kinds of stuff, right? And what I've come to find out is just like so much of it's just lies. It's lies and it's manipulation. And you know, the deeper I got into it, I started coaching a lot of these girls, like these, you know, so-called well-off spiritual influencer, manifester, whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, they're a fucking mess in the background. Like, these are not, they're not even grown women, first of all, that have maturity levels to be like telling other people what to do with their lives, but they're really messy in the background. And a lot of them have personality disorders. And the more I dug, the more I started to see, like, okay, this is a pattern that's repeating itself that I'm seeing. Same kind of leadership, same kind of marketing, same kind of sales tactics, same kind of like, you want my life. And they're like all preying like on the same people. And so then I started to get pissed, like so pissed, because I just have a thing with justice and abuse and people that take advantage of other people. Like, I have zero tolerance in my soul for that. And, you know, as a mental health professional myself, I felt like I had an ethical responsibility to start bringing awareness to this, because psychological manipulation can be so subtle and so tricky when you have trauma, especially. And most people that are coming into this industry, most consumers do have trauma on some level. And so what I noticed was happening was, it's like that good old narcissist empath trap, right? It's like the same kind of trauma bonding that these clients are doing with coaches on a huge scale, right? Mm-hmm. And so the more I started noticing the patterns and the ways that it's happening, the more I started speaking up about it, and then went on to create my program for people that wanted to do better, that really wanted to understand what psychological safety and ethics and, you know, research-based psychological transformation that's safe is. And so as I created this program, I swear I should have named it like the rehabilitation program for coaches, because it literally attracts every single person that's been hurt in the coaching industry that came into it for the right reasons and ended up in the hands of the wrong people, emulating them, feeling off in their soul. This is like the story I get from my students over and over and in my inbox every single day. It's like the same rehabilitation story. And the sad part is, so many of these girls are so emotionally and financially hurt that they can't even enter into a rehabilitative place or so I want to support everybody. And then at the same time, it's like, okay, there's something bigger that has to be done here, because of course I can't let everybody in my program for free and mommy and nurture everybody, even though I want to, and that's part of my trauma. But I have to make money and live too. I live in California. It's really expensive. But that's when, you know, I started thinking about, okay, where is the regulatory board, and why is there one, and how do I start thinking about putting the right people in place to get something like that started as well, to give these people some kind of support, that have been so financially and emotionally abused by, you know, cute little girl influencers online, or that's how they look, but they're not that cute inside, because they're vicious, a lot of them.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So many good things there. And I just want to totally say like a huge thank you to you for holding the space of having these conversations online too, because I know how many messages you get and how much drama you also get, right? It's not an easy thing to do. And I know your life could be a lot easier if you just, you know, did tra-la-la therapy, did a program, and just sent to all this. And a lot of people do. They just go, it's not our business. People can make the decisions they want. But once you have, you know, been in a program or been around a teacher who was so effed up and had people coming to you constantly with these horrible stories and no one's doing anything about it, and then you as a professional see how messed up it is too, it's like, you have to say something. And I'm just really grateful that you have. And so I know how big that is, you know, because you could just be off not dealing with any of it. So
doing OnlyFans and dancing around. Hey. My underwear. I mean, listen, that's like a secret dream of mine. I'm like,
no problem.
Like, why couldn't I have done that? This is too hard. Like, that sounds good and fun. This is not fun all the time. Like you're saying, it's really not. It's really hard to be the one that's like, am I the only one that's seeing red here? And everybody mm-hmm. else is like stuck in this, like, you know, manipulation dream. And that's why I was so glad to find you and some of these other girls that started speaking up, because yeah. I'm like, am I like literally the only person that's seeing this? Like, where are my people that are mm-hmm. seeing this too? And slowly but surely, I think we're all coming together and being able to really validate each other, and then all of the hundreds of people that have been hurt as well. And I think when we do speak up, it really helps, because you know, when you're in that experience of being manipulated, it's so confusing, yes. especially with trauma, and you don't trust yourself and you question yourself. And a lot of these girls are young and they're really scared of these influencer coaches. They're terrified to yeah. speak up or even share the name with me, or
yeah.
you know, try to do a chargeback on their credit card. They're terrified that like they're going to be exiled from this cool popular group or whatever the heck is going on in their mind, their trauma. You know, it's like it's just a repeat of their trauma playing out. And I wish I could help them all, because there are so many people, you know, I'm sure you get it too in your inbox over and over again.
Yeah. And when I made the account, you know, a lot of people will message me and say, oh my gosh, this is so great. And this is so cathartic. And I'm like, truly, this is cathartic for me to hear people's stories and know that I wasn't crazy and I wasn't alone in some of the shit that I tried, or all the money that I spent, or how kind of like delusional or out of reality I got with some of these programs. Like, it's really, really, really confusing. So everyone relates who's been up in it, and good people kind of lose their way. And also, it's been so cathartic for me, because I really thought that I was just angry and alone and someone who couldn't make it. And I am still afraid of speaking up about some of my main mentors or naming names. It's really big. It's really huge. And we can talk about the trauma of, I mean, you know, like I don't want to upset people or being codependent. So of course, like, these things happen to good people, and we can talk about more about trauma. Like, what the heck does that really mean? What are we saying here? Mm-hmm. And how some of these people play into that. They are literally profiting off of people's trauma. And I feel like that's really what I experienced.
1,000,000% trauma. And let's talk about relational trauma specifically, because that's kind of the dynamic that we see people monetizing on. So relational trauma is something that mostly every human being has. So in our formative years, when we are learning how to be part of our family, we have to adapt ourselves in certain ways to be loved and accepted into our family of origin. So every human on some level, unless your parents were like fully enlightened and totally can love and accept you and, you know, don't have any limitations of their own, which is like such a rare unicorn kind of thing that mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever truly seen. Maybe you have, but we all have our own traumas, right? Which means that they're dysfunctional ways to adapt in order to be loved or accepted. So instead of being authentically who we are, we adapt ourselves. So for instance, say my family was very loud and chaotic, and so I had to be loud and chaotic in order to get heard. And I even took on that persona of being like the tough, loud, you know, Jersey girl, right? But the truth is, the more I unwind my trauma, I'm an introverted human who loves nothing more than quiet time. But I didn't even know that was the truth about me. So this is what trauma is. It's like the ways that we adapt ourselves. This is what relational trauma is, in order to be loved and accepted. And so this lines up perfectly with people who had invalidating parents, mm-hmm. and parents that weren't able to meet their needs, because here we are in a hierarchy of a relationship, right? When you're signing up with a coach, they're the person that's supposed to, quote unquote, like parent you in a certain way, right? They're supposed to guide you in your life. They're supposed, so here gets repeated the same trauma that you had with your parents very often. And what I've noticed from this specific group of humans is that these coaches that, you know, really are successful at their scamming are attracting young women, mostly women, not, they're not all young, but I'd say in between the ages of 20 to let's say 40 average, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That have had attachment trauma and relational trauma, almost every single one of them. You could peel this back to that same relational trauma that they had with their parents. And so it's the perfect trauma bond. And then throw on top of it a pandemic or something that makes people even more vulnerable, and match that up with people who definitively know the way, right? And it becomes the perfect trauma bond.
Yeah. Okay, I'm writing some of this down. So this is so good. So I'm learning along here, maybe with some people listening, about more about trauma and how this affects our students, our clients, how it affects people who are signing up for programs and maybe wake up one day and are like, this doesn't feel good and I just paid $10,000. And so what you're talking about is relational trauma. So in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, how have I had that go on in my life? But that's different from you got in a car accident, right? Or something that wasn't having to do with a relationship. It's, you know, maybe your mother or father couldn't meet your needs, all these kind of things. It's relational. And okay, you mentioned a trauma bond, and there was a post I think you had made about trauma bonding in some way. And that's kind of new to me, trauma bonding. But I'm telling you, the pattern that I've seen and what I've experienced is so many of these coaches or scammers are so bitchy. I mean, it's like they give and take away their approval, they give and take away their praise of you. And it is the trippiest thing. It's like, wait a minute, why am I even trying to gain approval to a random stranger on the internet who I've paid so much money to? And I think a lot of people relate. They're like, what is going on? So what is the deal with trauma bonding, or what have you seen?
Yeah. So often when you have a parent that's not emotionally validating, you're used to that push-pull kind of thing. Like, I love you when you're being good. I don't love you when you're not being good, right? And I am not going to give you the validation unless you prove yourself to me and be a good kid, right? Mm-hmm. And so many people have that kind of bonding, attachment, trauma. So many people. And this is exactly the positioning that these coaches take. Like, I love you when you're being good and you pay me, but the second you stop paying me, you are not getting my attention anymore. So you behave in the way I want you to behave, or you don't get my attention. Yeah. As soon as you do what I want you to do, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader and you have my love and approval. But when you don't behave and you're not paying me anymore, I don't even know who you are. Right. And so the trauma bond right there. And unfortunately, it's like the same mean girl stuff that you see in high school. Like, you have to have an agreement to behave in a certain way or you're kicked out of the cool girl club, mm-hmm. right? And it's the same thing. It's all attachment wounding at the core, because you want to be loved and accepted so bad by a group or a parent or a mentor that you're willing to adapt to whatever they want, right? So it becomes a very one-sided relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And meanwhile, they're saying, look at all the money I make. Look how joyful my life is. Look at all the sex I'm having. Look at all these, you know, things on the outside that I'm making it seem like my life is so perfect. And you are a pathetic little peasant. You just have to follow these things in order to do it. And you kind of think like, well, man, there must be something wrong with me. I must have a block. I must be stuck in lack or whatever. And so, you know, this kind of lifestyle, this, ooh, it'll be great, mixed with that mean girl, you're like, well, obviously I need to listen to them. And obviously there's something wrong with me. And it creates that kind of bond, we're saying. Many people have messaged me that in hindsight, they realized they were kind of paying for someone to be their like bestie. And what in the world is that? And it's true.
It's that wound though of needing validation from somebody that you're perceiving as higher than you, better than you, has more authority than you, right? It's because it's mimicking the parent wound, right? Mm-hmm. You're still seeking that validation from your parent is really what it is, right? That you never got. And so you're mimicking that pattern over again and giving your power away, essentially, because we all know, like, you have to cultivate that internally. If you didn't get that from your parent, you can repair it, but you will repeat it until you repair it. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're seeing being repeated over and over, that same kind of dysfunctional attachment that most of these girls had with one of their parents or primary caregivers.
Yeah. So I know some about trauma from a financial sense, from financial trainings I've taken, and then trauma around working with people physically and teaching yoga a lot. But I don't know a ton, you know, past that. But I do know that a lot of people have trauma. Like back in the day, I think maybe 10 years ago, I thought, oh, you know, just kind of don't work with someone who has trauma. You know, if they start disclosing, you know, some really big stuff, of course, refer out. And otherwise, you know, you just kind of don't work with people who have trauma. But my perception is that now we know that like majority of people have experienced some trauma in their life. I've seen some statistics of 60, 70% or something. So is that true? And then like, we all need to understand how to not mess people up and understand why it's important to work with trauma, because actually it's just a common thing.
It is so freaking common. And it does, like, people see the word and they're like, oh no, that's not me. Because we think trauma is like a major car accident or a natural disaster or some big, huge event. And that's what they call big T trauma. And then there's the little T trauma, which is the relational stuff, the breakups, the deaths, the things that are not like a huge one-time event, right? And so the thing with whoever named it big and little T never talked about the part that little T trauma can affect you worse sometimes than big T trauma. Because when we're talking about relational trauma, I mean, you cannot have a healthy relationship until you heal that wound. And so it's really confusing because a lot of people don't recognize the relational stuff as trauma, even though it's so traumatizing. So again, trauma isn't the event, but it's how the psyche has to adapt to mm-hmm. an event that is too much for somebody to internalize. So say, yeah, like my dad beat me, right? And I couldn't internalize as a child that this person that loves me is also hurting me. So what happens is the nervous system will literally either shut down and you disassociate and you get stuck there, or you're in hyper arousal, which you're always seeking for something to go wrong and you can't turn that off. And no matter if you're even by yourself and there's no perceived threats around, you're still, your nervous system is perceiving that there is one because you can't shut it off. So this is how our body and our psyche protects us from real danger or from real, emotional overwhelm that's too much to process. Like you could perhaps have gone into psychosis if your nervous system doesn't protect you on that level. But mm-hmm. at some point, we have to look at what our nervous system's been protecting us from and allow it to process through so that it could up and out, right? And this even is with relational trauma, but there is a way to go about that that is so delicate and careful. And what happens, and I don't even know like where I'm going with this or where we came from, but mm-hmm. what happens with a lot of these coaches is they drive this trauma in even worse by doing what they're doing. It's driving these traumas into an even more detrimental place in the people that they are, you know, quote unquote serving, AKA stealing all their money, because they're not really serving them. And so This is where it becomes a danger on a vulnerable population.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so I wrote down a couple things here. Trauma isn't about the specific thing that happened, but what happens to you internally, how you process or react or move through things afterwards, kind of physically and mentally. I'm kind of given a five-year-old example here for me to understand. It's not about like, oh, that one thing happened to you or that one relationship was that way, but mentally and physically, things happen, things change. One of the things is you can get stuck and just like freeze, and your body had to be like, oh, this happened. No, I'm not going to be here for it. Goodbye. And things like shut off. And another thing is hyperarousal, you mentioned, where people cannot chill out. They're just like, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? So just kind of recap and talking about what I heard you say, there's a bajillion more things to get into. So please go actually learn about trauma. But what is the deal with why it's bad to just try and push through that? Because in some of the mindset programs I took, of course, they never talked about trauma. In some of the NLP trainings I took, they never talked about trauma. And I'm not saying that anything like NLP or coaching or any tool or thing out there is definitively bad. I'm just saying this was my experience, is we were not aware of trauma. And we were taught to push past your edge and just think differently. And it's just like wild to me, because that's just not true for people. So yeah. Like, what is the deal with trauma? And then kind of some of that BS about pushing past it. And
yeah, it's so dangerous. And we hear this even with a lot of the huge name, like old school, really well-known coaches and stuff that will break people open and push them past their fears. And this is actually so super dangerous, because if you are not supporting somebody at the pace their nervous system is ready to process, you can create a lot of damage by overwhelming the nervous system and pushing somebody past where the nervous system is ready to go. So some of these coaches that are like, you know, pushing people, they either bypass working with what really needs to happen, or they break them open and it goes too fast and furious. And on either of those, it just creates so much more psychological distress in a human. But the one where they push you past it, feel the fear and just keep going kind of thing, that actually is repressing the trauma instead of like overwhelming it, right? So there's two different really psychologically damaging things that I see happening. And one is that push past it. So when you push past it without processing it, and you mindset your way out of it, mm-hmm. and you just action your way out of it, what happens? The trauma is still there. And so it will manifest as a physical issue. Eventually, you may get results psychologically or financially, or, you know, you may see changes. So it does produce results to push past it, but it also creates disease, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's not the healthiest way to create change by any means, because you're still damaging somebody. You're still pushing it further in, right? So you're actually creating more repression when you're pushing past something, even if you see results. So it looks prettier than somebody that's just stuck because you're mobilizing them, but you're not mobilizing them in a way that's healthy or sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so that's one thing. And then the other thing is like the, like, you know, making people dive right into their fear, whatever it is, without having the capacity to support them to process it and regulate their self around it. And so when we have these big cathartic openings, very often it's really dysregulating on the nervous mm-hmm. system. And then people run super anxious nonstop because so the one is disassociated from their feelings. When they're pushing them past it, they're teaching them disassociate from what you feel and keep going. And the other one, when they break you open, it's like overwhelming to the nervous system.
Yeah. I can think of many friends over the years who have kind of seen do these two things, either in such a, and I don't know if this exactly relates, right? But business friends who are in such a state of like hype and go, and they're just like pushing everything down. I'm like, okay, wow. I see a lot in the industry, people who need to almost like constantly be pumping themselves up or in action. And it's like, well, what would happen if you slowed down a bit? It's like don't do it. You know,
it is trauma. It's like, you could be very successful out of your trauma. Mm-hmm. And I always say that that's the prettier one than the people that are stuck. And I think it's the people that are stuck that are admiring these people who have the opposite kind of trauma, but they're not healthy leaders. They're producing results, but not from a healthy place. And so it's very disillusioning because they're like, oh, but they make money and they, you know, get results. And it's like, yeah, but not in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. And I've totally also seen, and it could be trauma related, hey, I don't know, but when people take so many courses and programs and things and then just freeze, I mean, they either like drop out or they are just so frozen and don't take any action. Maybe they're stuck in learning. There could be a million different ways and reasons, but at some point it's like, why are you so frozen? Is this not the right thing for you? Is this bringing up a lot of stuff for you? I don't know. But instead, when people are go, 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 we praise them. When people are stuck or frozen, we say, you suck. You need to get going. You need to get into action. And the whole thing is benefiting the teachers instead of what the person best needs.
100%. Instead of recognizing, okay, this person's in a trauma response. How do I support them? It's like, bad kid, you're not doing your work, you know, and you're bad and you're, you know, faulty and you got to step up and I invite you to lean in. And it's like, what the F? Like, you're just making it so much worse on this human that needs compassion and empathy and a reparative relationship, but instead they're getting the same thing that got the person that trauma.
And what's really interesting, what comes to my mind in all this is like, why couldn't people serve people with where they're at? Wow, revolutionary. Because so many of these businesses, so many of these coaches need people to produce, need people to make money in order for their business to work. You know, when I think of like a therapist, and it's like, there's no pressure on them to do anything or make anything or put themselves out there or launch. Like, why? Because there's a whole triangle shaped thing freaking going on. And it's a whole nother topic.
100%. I remember calling one of them out before and saying, are you invested in your client's results because it's a reflection of you, or because you really care about them and know the story? And they froze, you know? And I'm like, mm-hmm, exactly. That's exactly it. You're invested because it looks good on you, not because you actually care about that person. Because what's their kid's name and where do they come from? But you don't know any of that, you know? This is about you pushing them to produce results, just like you're saying, because it's all about them. And you're right. This would never happen in therapy, because as a therapist, you know, you're not responsible for your client's results. You're there to give them unconditional positive regard and compassion and support them and resource them and get, but you know, at the end of the day, like you're not pushing them for results. And so it's a completely different power dynamic that people enter into very often in this coaching relationship, that some people really caught on to how to play into that power dynamic and use it to their advantage. And then it's rinse and repeat. Like we see the same process. The people that have figured out how to take advantage of, you know, the population of people that are coming as consumers, you could see the formula now and you can't unsee it once you see it. It's very formulated. And whether it's with these old school bro marketer, you know, what do you call it? Like ads, funnel
ads, people, bros.
Yeah. They do the same manipulation, just in a different form than the boss babe, spiritual, you know, money god, like women. So it's, it, when you really can see what the pattern looks like of like breaking somebody down and then playing into their fear and then pushing them across the finish line, because that's what's in their best interest if they really want to be successful and grow. It's the same exact formula. It's just they're doing it in two different ways, the lady bosses and the bro marketer people. And I think that, you know, it just took one girl to figure out how to turn it into a feminine, loving, God looking thing, right? Instead of a hardcore, but it's the same shit. It's the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. And I really didn't think of it when I was deep in it of why are they so invested in you taking the next step and like enrolling in more and going and launching. There's like so much pressure around that, and so many of the communities that I've been in, and they're putting it on a pedestal completely. Like, these are the good people. These are the ones I'm cheering on. Oh, congratulations. I just sent you some crap in the mail because you just hit your first blah, 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 blah. And when I think of, you know, a therapist, for example, or you could go with a tennis teacher, you could go with a yoga teacher. They're not invested in that same way. They're here to teach you. They're going to hold a class. If you want to continue, great. And it's just kind of eye-opening to see the manipulation and the codependency, because it's like, F off. Get out of these people's heads and their lives and pressuring them into all this stuff. And you really do not see it when you are up in it. You really think, oh my gosh, they're helping me to be my best self and to up level. And it's just such a mind fuck. But I see it so clearly now.
Such a mind fuck. I see it so clearly too. It's like boom, 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 boom. Like I could just like pick it right out of the internet, you know, like there's the formula. There's the formula. There's the formula. Like you could see it and you could see the people that are doing it and manipulating. And it's just so sad. It's so sad to me. And what's even sadder is all the people that have gotten caught in it, you know, that really still can't see, but you know, I find that people come back around a lot. It's like, you know, people that are part of it end up coming back and seeing the light. And so we just have to stand up pillars of education and speaking up and really trying to educate the consumers around this epidemic that's happening, because it really is an epidemic.
It really, really is. So the whole trauma thing is a huge conversation to get into. I mean, basically people should go out there and learn about trauma, especially if they want to actually help people, right? So that you are actually being able to support them and give them the work that you're doing with them. So definitely it's a huge conversation. Everyone go, you know, learn about trauma. To wrap up about trauma a little bit, and then we can talk about some other things. What does it mean for you when someone is trauma informed? We hear that all the time. Are you trauma informed? You should be trauma informed. But like, kind of, what does that really mean?
So I might have a different definition than most people, but what I believe when we are working with people's psyches in any type of way, whether you're a CEO in your team or your clients, or when you're a coach, when you're in an authoritative position, especially a teacher, when you're trauma-informed, you're aware of your own personal scope of practice. And what that means is that you can identify when your own nervous system is getting into a dysregulated state, and that's your cue of, I'm out of my scope of practice. How do I close this person up safely and help get them the support that they need with somebody that is not me, because I'm not qualified at this point, right? So that's one part of being trauma-informed. And as far as coaching goes, right? Trauma-informed is also about how we respond to people that are having heightened emotions in any way. So, you know, when we're talking about teachers, it's going to look different than trauma-informed in the coaching industry, because that includes their scope around supporting a transformation in somebody. But if you're, say, a teacher, a doctor, a healthcare professional of any kind, or in that kind of position where you are leading or supporting, when somebody's having an emotional experience of any kind, it's knowing what to do in those moments to help the person feel supported versus trying to make it go away because you're uncomfortable mm-hmm. with it, or distract them because you're uncomfortable with it. And so being trauma-informed really is about learning intimacy in a way, and empathy, and like this famous words that are so trendy now, holding space for somebody else's experience. Because what happens, and you know, everybody out there listening could just take a minute to think about this, but when somebody's having an emotional experience, or you see somebody struggling, or you see a homeless person on the street, or somebody that's deformed, what happens inside of your body? Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? Is it too hard for you to look at? Because if it is, this means that you're not capable of working with everybody, right? And we could expand that capacity inside of us to have more empathy, to be able to sit in harder places, but we have to be able to accept our own emotional experience before we can do that for others. So part of being trauma-informed, in my opinion, is really understanding your own limitations and being committed to working with them and growing in yourself as a practitioner, and knowing your biases and your edges and knowing your own traumas and wounding, so that you're not projecting any of that onto the people that you're working with.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I mean, it really kind of, as you explain it, it would make me feel like a calm, a comfort, a grounding in how you work with people, knowing that first and foremost, like, I'm okay. Like, I'm a safe space within myself. Like, I'm good. Oh, hi, kitty. I'm good. My cat just jumped up on the computer. Knowing that I'm good, and then that I can then also hold space for other people, like, and make sure that I'm not messing them up. I mean, I can't tell you in the coaching programs and courses how people are like, someone said this, what should I do? And I'm like, not be coaching them. I mean, of course they might have some questions or need feedback or support, but there's a lot of people who don't know what to do / are triggered, blow the F up about anything a client does. And I'm like, holy moly, about how some of these coaches, these scammers, how terrible they treat people, how their reactions, they just go wild. So yes, I really love what you shared, and everyone should go learn more about trauma, actually.
And being trauma-informed, you know, the world would be a much better place if people knew how. But, and it's not like oh, you don't know how, but we're not taught how. Like mm-hmm. we go to school when we're little and we learn about math and English and all these things. We don't learn about relationships. We don't learn about how to be a empathic person. And if our parents weren't healthy emotionally and psychologically, we're off to a bad start. That's called generational trauma. And we all have that generational trauma too, on some level. And so it's really important for people to understand how to, being trauma-informed is how to compassionately relate to other humans and mm-hmm. how to notice what comes up inside of you in that relationship. So you have this self-awareness and you can work on whatever challenging emotions you're having in the relationship as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. And it makes me think of, yeah, how I want to work with people or how I want to hold space for them. I know that's such a cliche term, but to be able to really do that in the best way for everyone just sounds so lovely and grounding. And like, you can actually support someone and do the work that you want to do. It's yeah. just, okay, yeah. And the whole world would be a better place if we had a understanding and awareness about trauma. Hello.
There's a misconception, and I hear this all the time, like, oh, being trauma-informed, like, you let people walk all over you. And it's like, no, actually, part of being trauma-informed is learning healthy boundaries, too, and how to set them in a way that's beneficial for both you and your client and not creating codependencies. Mm-hmm. And so that whole notion of like, oh, trauma informed is like so soft. I'm a direct coach. Well, you know, anybody that knows me, Melissa Lapidus, knows that I'm soft as soft could be, but when there's something hard to say, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it in a way that's trauma informed. And I'm going to make sure that we have a safe and trusting foundation before I go in there and rip you up. Not like I'm ripping people up, but when I'm direct, like, you have to know these things. And if the other person's nervous system is able to receive that, and you do that through being attuned and being led by your client, not by your own, you know, ego and what the transformation that you want them to have, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, I've been reading some books on trauma and just learning more, and I'm looking forward to learning more from you on this topic. From your like professional and no BS point of view, what are some of the things that you see online that are, I mean, this could be an enormous bag of worms, but what are some of the things you see online that are like so messed up, or you see it so often, or you're like, what a freaking scam? Are there things that are particularly irking you that you're seeing these days that you want to rant about?
Yeah, it's like the biggest thing for me is the money worship stuff. That just drives me fucking crazy. Can I say that word here? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we swear.
It drives me crazy. It is the most easiest way to mislead people, because everybody equates money to happiness and freedom, but it is so manipulative. It is like the most, anybody that's selling you more money, like, red flag. It's the yeah. biggest red flag. Anybody that is selling you money, more money, red flag, red flag, red flag. It's like, that's like the biggest manipulation tool possible. And so many of these men and women are selling money and lifestyles. And it's like, that is some toxic ass shit. That mm-hmm. is just so toxic. And I love money. Like, I have a great relationship now that I've worked really hard, and I like nice things. But as a coach or a therapist, like, I'm not going to be naked on top of my Mercedes Benz selling my program. Like,
why not?
I don't understand. Like, where are those two things mixed together? Like, they just don't. Okay. And it's like, that's where, if you're an influencer, stay an influencer. Don't take anybody's psyche in your hands. If you're selling yourself, you know, and your lifestyle, go in and be an affiliate for Mercedes or Louis Vuitton, you know what I mean? And make your money a different way, but not through promising people like this dream that, first of all, you're not really don't even know how to get them there. you got that dream because you're selling a lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
the whole thing is just so, so twisted to me and messed up and psychologically manipulative. So that's, for me, like the biggest red flag and the biggest hell no online.
Yes. I really didn't see it before I kind of came to or took a step back from the industry, how much money worship there is. I just thought, okay, good. I mean, we want to make money. We want to be able to have freedom and okay, what's the problem? But now it's so much more extreme and so much more obvious. It's not about, okay, make a great living doing good work. No, no, no. It is literally that, you know, oh my gosh, this morning was a 20K day. And then this week I bought this car. It's all about what financial gains, financial hits they're having, what financial gains their students are having. And to give people a little like understanding of kind of what is money worship, like I would say there's a couple different things around money and Melissa could probably explain it well, but like you're putting your value, your worth, your success, everything is on how much money are you making? Are you bringing in? And if you're not, then maybe you don't feel good about yourself or, you know, you're a piece of crap or that person's, you know, not doing well. It's just everything is focused on the money. And then you don't want to fall into this either. But in the yoga world, I fell into so much money avoidance that money's bad. Don't touch it. You don't want to be charging people. So sometimes people see the money worship and then fall into, so don't accept any money because that's bad. So that's that, neither are good or true or balanced. But like, what would you say more about the money worship? Like what's going on there? They're just like obsessed with and want to make love to money.
Sex and money sell. Like sex and money sell. And it's part of the manipulation. It's part of the manipulation and it's part of the ego tricking those people to think that they're holier than thou or they have some secret to the universe because they figured out, they do have a secret. They figured out how to manipulate people. That's the fucking secret. Okay. It's like, you do have a secret, you know, how to psychologically manipulate human beings. Like there you go, folks.
That's the secret. Seriously.
It's a secret. It is. And money is so manipulative because what do people want more than anything? It's not even the money. It's to feel safe. People crave to feel safe. Yeah. And that's what trauma is. Not having the ability to regulate yourself to safety inside. Mm-hmm. So many people, especially with the pandemic and everything that's happened, people feel like completely shattered and the realities have been shattered. And we see the great resignation and people are questioning their whole lives. There's more trauma now than there ever has been. So what a great time to optimize on this, you know, vulnerable population. And we saw some of the, you know, queen bees of the industry that are manipulating have their biggest freaking, you know, over $20 million years right when COVID's happening. Mm-hmm. Is there a correlation, you think?
Mm-hmm.
When people are most vulnerable, we're going to go in and promise them money. What does money equal? Safety and stability. That's what people equate it to, because you know how hard it is to be stuck in survival mode, and money just agitates and magnifies that being stuck in survival when you don't have it, right? And that's the worst feeling in the world, is to not feel safe. And so money is this false illusion of safety and security, but it's false. It's fake. It's not real, people, but people feel like it is and they believe it is. And so people are so hung up on this illusion that, you know, when they have enough money, and I get it. I have crazy trauma around my money. My parents, all four of them were Jewish immigrants that, you know, had Holocaust survivors in their immediate family. And we grew up with nothing, and life's always going to be a struggle and life's so hard. And you know, money's the root of all evil. And I was so programmed around that, that I felt so unsafe all the time because we didn't have enough. And I grew up feeling not safe. And there is some truth to money does bring you some security. It, you know, you can't live in a home if you don't have money. You can't have, you know, a roof over your head and food in your mouth if you don't have money. And so it really does represent safety and security in a lot of ways, but it's not going to get you to peace and inner safety. Maybe it'll get you that house, but I know people that are multimillionaires that still have financial trauma, that still feel like it's all going to get taken away, that are constantly scanning for something to go wrong, that can't sleep at night, even though they have millions of dollars in their bank account. And so while it could give you your basic needs and maybe, you know, plus some, it's not going to take away those feelings of not feeling safe inside. That's healing your trauma.
Wow. Yeah. I think back to when I was making good money, or it felt like a lot of money in the industry, and I wasn't happy. I was stressed. I mean, it also felt like such a roller coaster for my nervous system. I mean, there was just so much. It wasn't the key, the ticket. And money's great and it's beautiful. And I hope everyone can have more than enough that they need. I hope that for everyone. It's just when they're marketing, hey, you're going to make so much money, this launch, that launch, we're going to break through your money blocks. It's often by teaching, they will teach you how to scam someone, or they will teach you how to override your values or disconnect the F out of yourself to offer some fluff. I hear that from so many people that they invested, they went all in, they thought that they were going to make all this money, and they couldn't do it. And they were happy that they couldn't do it, actually, because it was just some messed up, creepy ass stuff. So yeah, I mean, all that money worship and them selling you on making money is just wild. And I see it really clearly now. And you said it really well.
It's so sad. It's like, it's really sad because you're selling people false hope, you know, you're selling them false hope of safety and security, which, like I said, during times like a pandemic or in general, a lot of people have that fear and trauma. So they're marketing, like you said, we'll bring it full circle, right to people's deepest, darkest traumas that are hidden and unconscious.
Yeah.
And it's like the perfect match, the perfect trauma bond.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you've been working on? I mean, I know you've been working on a lot of stuff, and I also haven't gotten to chat with you or connect. So what are some of the things that you've been working on that you want to share about?
Yeah. So I've been looking at my own business, first of all, and the model and how it's been influenced by the whole online world, and just really humbling myself back to my own mission of wanting to serve and support as many people as possible. And you know, I had a huge awakening because I had a high ticket program, which I'll tell you right now is probably well worth it, more than these little girls that are selling fluff. I put my heart and soul into my program. It's like a whole dissertation, legitimately.
Yeah.
But when we started offering scholarships, because we wanted to open up, we literally had over 200 scholarships and my mind applications. So I had a step back and be like, okay, what is going on here? And then so many of them were even saying, because we said, like, this is the lowest price per month, like, is this going to work for you? So many people who applied were like, it isn't, but I really want to take this program. So, you know, if I was one of these money coaches, I would probably say to myself, what am I doing to attract all these poor people, right? What is wrong with me? What is it in me that's attracting poor people? But instead, because I'm a trained therapist, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people going through a crisis financially right now, and they want to help others. So how can I not do what I really want to do and serve them? So I've been looking at restructuring my business in a way that's as accessible as possible for as many people as possible. And so that looked like really slashing the prices of my own program and looking at different ways to set up the business. So that being number one. And then number two is working on a board of ethics with some other mental health professionals and consumer rights attorneys and social science professionals so that we can really give an outline to what ethical coaching is, what ethical marketing is, what ethical sales is, what it looks like when it's not done ethically, some of the big things that we see repeated in the industry and like breaking these things down, because I think part of the problem is there's been no overseeing regulatory board like we have in therapy or doctors have or any other profession has to say this is ethical and this is not ethical. So I've really taken the time to gather the right people and create a coaching ethics book and a board where we will be kind of like the Better Business Bureau, where people can report, you know, when they've been heard in the industry, and it will all be anonymous, and there'll be a, what do you call it? Like a,
where you can like submit your experience, or
yeah, like you could search a certain.
Oh yeah, you like can search Yelp. Up a coach's name. Oh Yelp,
right. Uh-huh. And say like, you know, what did people think of this restaurant, right? And you get all these anonymous reviews. So we're working on that website right now, and also on the same website, we've linked into a bunch of really powerful consumer rights attorneys that feel as passionately as we do. They're victims advocates, and they will be offering legal support. They'll be sifting through all the cases. They won't be able to help everybody, but a lot of repeat offenders are what they're looking for, because those will be the ones that will be easiest to have like class action lawsuits with and such. So we're just going to be collecting data for a while and really hoping that people will start submitting the data. I think they will. I think people are waking up. They're submitting it in my inbox all the time, and I'm sure in yours also. And so we've really put a lot of thought and care into creating a system that will really give consumer education and guidelines and support to people that are hurt in the industry.
Yay.
I know. I'm seriously so excited about it. And like the way that it all came together, I seriously just can't even express like how, you know, the right people and things have all come together to support this wonderful mission and all people that really care about supporting vulnerable populations with mental health issues mostly.
Yeah. So that is so freaking amazing. I've, you know, been hearing about it behind the scenes from you and just jumping up and down about it. And I'm so grateful that all of you are taking the time and energy out of your own lives to work on this and create this, because you know how needed it is. And people are getting so freaking financially, emotionally abused out there and have nowhere to bring it, have nowhere to share it, have no recourse to do anything with it. And there's good people who might be wondering, ooh, how can I tweak things in my business? Or I may have learned things that were bad. Let me go through this guideline of ethics from these professionals and see how I can integrate this and understand it better. Amazing. And also people will be able to tippy tap on their computer and be able to look someone up and have a public listing of anonymous reviews. Which hello is so needed. And I just want to commend you, all of you. I'm so grateful that you're doing it. And, you know, I want to say that you're so brave. And I'm also like, you're like doing what's right, you know, and it's sad that it needs to be brave. Do you know what I mean? Like you are absolutely so brave. And it's like, how come no one's doing this?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. And I'm just so glad for all the support that I've gotten, because it is, I've had a lot of hate and a lot of heat from a lot of people that are benefiting from not having ethics drawn out in the industry. I mean, come on, let's be honest. This is a multi-million dollar industry, yeah. right? And by putting this information out there, it's threatening to people that are, you know, making a lot of money in the industry. And so I've gotten a lot of heat, and I'm a Jersey girl. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Like,
I could take it. Unfortunately, I was built for this. I say unfortunately, because like I said, I'd rather be like,
yeah,
sugar daddy to take care of me and not have to do all this hard
work. Yes.
But somehow this is my path.
Your path. Yes. I really am so grateful that you are like willing and that it is your path. And if I had any ounce of education or understanding, I would try to be involved or whatever, but I'm so happy that people who know what they're talking about are creating something like this. And then I'll just keep kind of talking shit and mocking people on the internet. And do my part in that way, you know, but I'm really excited.
Smarties helping out here. So yeah. I feel grateful because I myself can't always articulate the nuances of the manipulation that's happening. So I'm just so grateful for the educated minds that have come together to create this and collaborate.
So cool. So cool. Do you have any little last tidbit for the people who might be listening, if they are maybe up in the coaching world, feeling confused or kind of learning about this mess or trauma, any little last tidbit or words?
Yeah. If you're feeling confused, don't move from that place. Do not ever move from feeling confused or feeling like you're going to miss out or miss the boat or not be able to do what you want to do and move from adrenaline either. Like, confusion and adrenaline are not places to move from, because they're both putting you outside of your critical thinking. And that's where you want to be with this stuff. Even though they tell you, don't think, just act, right? Yeah. They're literally leading you into being in a trauma response and moving from it. So you do want to think things over, pause, think things over, look at things logistically, ask a few people that are business-minded if it's an actual sound investment for you, and make a logical decision.
Mm. Amen. I mean, you literally see them saying, I work with women who move. I work with women who won't get stuck in their heads. They just go with their feeling. I mean, you now see this marketing everywhere that they are teaching you to move or make a choice from that place that you're saying, confused, you know, a strong feeling, that FOMO emotion.
It's grooming. It's like, it's all grooming. They're grooming you to feel. It's disgusting. It is so disgusting.
God. Oh, okay. We got to talk more about that. Oh my God. Seriously. It's like, you guys see, we see it all. And then people send us these posts all day long. I'm sure they send them to you, and I welcome people sending them to me, how messed up it is and how much they do this. So maybe now people listening, maybe you've already seen it. Maybe you'll start to see some of what we're talking about pop up on your feed and see it for what it is. Everyone listening, like, wherever you're at, if you are like, screw all this, you know, F these scammers, or if you're just really curious, there's a lot of people who listen who are like, I don't really get what she's on about. You know, I don't think this is so bad. Wherever people are at, I really, really welcome them. And I also invite you to check Melissa out. I think she's a wonderful resource. Overall, I'm saying, everyone listening, I'm so glad that you've been here being open to listening and being open to listen to our conversation. So thank you for that. And Melissa, where can people find you more on Instagram, your website?
Yeah, on Instagram, it's Safe Space Institute. And my website is safetraumahealing.com.
And do you do sessions with people if they're like, I don't even know which way is up and around, holy moly, do you do sessions with people? in that way?
I do. I actually just opened up for 4 sessions a week that I do one-to-one. So you could find that on my website.
Awesome.
And if you can't, email me from my website if you can't find it.
Yes. Okay, great. I know that'll be a really big help to people because, you know, people pop in my inbox all the time and I'm like, find a therapist. And not that a therapist needs to understand all of this. I'm like, great, go to anyone, especially if they don't understand. But it's also really wonderful to be able to hash it out with someone who's like, girl, I see all that they're doing.
And relate it back to the person's childhood trauma. Then it makes sense to them. Wow. That always is like the, oh. When people wake up to that, oh, this is a repeat story.
Yeah. Yeah.
99% of the time it is.
Oh, that's just so messed up.
I know. It's so messed up. I know.
But it's changing. It is changing. It really is.
100%. I really feel that. And I know there are tons of amazing, good-hearted coaches that are humanistic and really care.
Yes, absolutely. And I really know that your work is going to help turn things around. I mean, there are so many more people who are speaking up, people are waking up, and people who have good work to offer the world can get out of the weird, shady shit that they learned or the weird, shady shit they saw that they just didn't want to be a part of. They didn't want to look like that and be able to offer their things in a way that feels safe and good for all involved.
100%. And one last other thing is building a business is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It doesn't just happen. Like, so all of that is, let me just like tell you from my own experience, building a business is hard. It's hard. It takes work. It takes energy. It takes resilience. It is not sitting on the beach and working 2 hours a day by any means. Like, that is more luck, and you're great at Instagram marketing. You don't even have to really have skills, right? These are the people that are manipulating again, but talk to any other entrepreneur out of the coaching industry and they're going to tell you what it really takes to build a business.
Yes. More than just, I just decided. I love when people say that. I'm like, okay. And I mean, okay. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Shut up.
I'm telling you, I've started to like lose my composure.
I get because it. I've had like, to block every single one of them because it's so infuriating. It's like watching, you know, child molesters run loose in a nursery school. Like, it's the same infuriating thing. Like, who's letting this happen?
Yeah.
That's exactly like how I feel. It's like, oh my gosh, abusers in a vulnerable population. Like,
no.
We have to do something about this.
Yes. And I know that you relate, and I swear we will hop off, but I know that you relate because the amount of stories and experiences I get in my inbox is really freaking wild. And I know that you get that up, down and sideways, and even like comments on your Facebook posts and stuff. And so it's like, that's also why I'm like, shut up, you scammers, and just shut up with your dumb posts. I have no patience left because it's so horrible. And I'm overwhelmed with the amount of people who are asking for help and being abused. And I know you feel the same way. So I'm just saying like, ooh, I know you see it even more.
That's why it's not like I just want to like call people out or make people wrong or bad. You know, that's like a big lashback that I get is like, why do you have to make people bad to bring up your own work? And it's like, that is not what I'm doing here. I'm speaking to something that is wrong and harmful. And I will never feel bad about that, right? Like, if there was a predator living next door to your friend and you know that, are you not going to tell them? Yes, you're going to tell them if you could see it and they can't. So there is an ethical responsibility to speak up. So all these people that like want to keep the peace and want to put me down for putting others down, I'm not putting people down. I'm talking about ethical responsibility and psychological safety. Like, these are facts, not just, oh, I'm an angry bitch that wants to put a dent in somebody's $20 million a year. Like, no.
You're just jealous that they're making 20K. Oh, yeah.
I must be triggered. There's something in me that's triggered.
Yes. I'm so jealous that I can't just do Facebook Lives of fluff all day long and scam people and not respond to them and just take advantage of them and teach them how to be a scammer too. So right. Jealous.
So triggered. So jealous.
Seriously. Oh my God. Okay. Well, Melissa, I hope that we can talk again on the podcast. There's so much to dive into. Really, thank you again for your time and your wisdom. And I just think the world of you. And I'm so grateful that you're so strong and standing up and speaking up and teaching people how to do better and be better so they can do their good work. So thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate you so much and your courage and bravery for really taking a stance. I know what it takes. And you have been, I feel, such a big eye opener for so many people. And I really am grateful for you for stepping in and doing that, because I too know how hard it is. Yeah. And it really takes something. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I receive that and I really appreciate it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, everyone listening, we will see you next time. Thanks for being here and we'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye.
You did it. You listened to the whole podcast. You're a real good person and you did it and you're a friend. What am I saying? Okay. Thanks for listening for realsies, and make sure to, you know, go over to Instagram at Why Don't You Say Something. Also check out the Patreons. There's a couple different tiers. We also have a new business group. If you want to come talk about these topics and be on Zoom calls with people and ask questions and hash it out and really try and do your best, then please come on down. And if you have any big questions for me or feedback, you can email me at eva@evacollins.com. Bye.